And some kids are far ahead of the adults. Welcome this morning. My name's Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're visiting, we're super glad you joined us. And there are a lot of people who were out last week, so I want to bring you up to speed because it's kind of part two of a message on generosity. The reason we're talking about generosity is it's one of our seven culture points that we have identified at Adventure Church, kind of family values that we have. And this is a generous family. As we seek to be like Christ, this is a generous family. I've experienced it through over 10 years of being in this community. So last week we talked about three of six keys to generosity. And we're using a book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn as kind of a foundation structure to talk about this subject. So there's a few of those copies. Are there still some left back there? Yeah, so there's a few copies. Looks like Mike grabbed one. There's some more available too. I'd recommend reading that. I'd recommend reading it once a year because it brings this topic back, kind of a check-in to see where's your heart at with that. You can order it online too or download it into your Kindle or whatever, but it's not the Bible. It's one person kind of unpacking some scriptures about generosity and how we approach that. So we're going to follow the three more keys this morning, but if you weren't here, I wanted to review the first three keys that we went through last week. This is a family service, so kids, don't check out, okay? There might be some candy in the deal, okay? Because I'm generous, all right? Oh, okay, but I want to speak to you kids too, because you can learn from this. As we just watched from those videos, we can learn from the kids about generosity. Key number one is God owns everything. I'm his money manager, okay? So do you think about all of your stuff as being yours, okay? Last week I talked about if you're a kid, you live in with your family and you have a room. Do you think of that room as being your room? Is it your room? It's not your room? It's your dad's room and your mom's room. No, whose is it? It's your sister's too. That's right. That's good. Okay, good.
It's God's room. Come on, Dad.
Well, you're so smart. So the idea is, what if we thought of it as God's? Okay? So he's given it to us to manage. So I imagine if you have a room of your own, a bedroom, that you're managing that room and you're taking really good care of it, right? Yes, and you keep it picked up and clean, and you don't write on the walls with crayons because you're a manager of the things that God's given you. And so Job learned that when God said, Job, who owes me anything? Who am I indebted to that I should pay them something? Everything is mine. As the creator, all things are his, and then he blesses us with things as a good father, even above and beyond what we need. So if you can get into that perspective, it's about a heart issue. Generosity is about a heart issue. It's not about obedience to a command. It's about aligning yourself with the idea that you get the opportunity to partner with God in the things that he's doing. And therefore, that's why he's given us more resources than we need. I would imagine every person in this room, though you may feel like you're strapped, you have more than you need. Because when we talk about necessities, it's what you need to survive for food. It's shelter that you need so that you don't die in the night, in the cold. And most of us have far beyond that. Key number two, my heart always goes where I put God's money. Okay? And Jesus taught us this principle, saying where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So think of something that's a treasure to you. That's something that's important to you. If you took your allowance money and you saved it and saved it and saved it and got $500, and you were able to go down to the glue factory and buy a horse before it was made into glue, because that's about what you get for 500. I don't know, maybe you can get a good horse for 500 bucks. So you take your allowance money, never mind, off track here, $500 and you buy a horse, okay? And you take that horse, now you're going to comb that horse, aren't you? And you're going to feed that horse, and you're going to take good care of that horse. Stop laughing. And you're going to think about that horse a lot, right? You're going to think about that horse a lot. I told an example to the adults because kids don't do this, but adults sometimes get really into TV shows, and they watch TV show episodes over and over and over again. And then when they get about 30 to 60 to 80 episodes into the seasons, they get really committed to that TV show. And they might even start thinking during the day about whether it's going to be one of those evenings where they have time to watch their episode, right? And they might even start thinking about how to arrange their time to create time to make sure that they're going to be able to watch. And I'm not saying necessarily that's bad, but the good news is that works in the kingdom of God too. Whether it's a horse or a TV show or whatever, well, that principle works also with God, to where when you put your heart into something that God's doing and you're on mission with him, your heart moves there. And then you might find yourself arranging your day so that you have time even to do what God's calling you to do. And you start looking forward to that. So that's that principle. Your heart goes where I put God's money, but that could be resources. That could be your time even, or the giftings that God's given you. Then we talked about number three, heaven, not earth, is my home. So how comfortable are you with earth? Okay, is this your home? For now, it is. I could call it home in some sense, and I'm comfortable here, and I like life here on earth. But have I settled into it? And what we looked at was in Hebrews, in the Bible, it talked about all these people who lived by faith. And one of the things that they did to live by faith was they lived like this wasn't their home. And that was what was credited to them as righteousness, is their faith. So they were, God saw them as these incredible people of faith because they couldn't see everything, but they lived like it was going to happen. So Noah was one of them. And he couldn't see the flood when he built the ark. For all those years he's working on the ark, he couldn't see the flood. But God said, it's coming. And God said, that's a faithful, righteous man. Because he couldn't see the flood and he still built the ark with his family. And then Abraham was told he'd have descendants as numerous as the stars. Well, he died long before that happened. But he believed God. And God said, that's a righteous person. Because of his faith. He believes what I said I'm going to do, even if he doesn't get to see it on this earth, because he knows there's something after this earth. So that's that concept of heaven, not earth, is my home. How does that relate to generosity? Well, maybe you're not storing up everything, as we're going to learn with our next key. If you're not living with that mentality, well, this is it. Earth is it. I better collect as many things as I can here, as many horses from the glue factory as I can get. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that back up. Okay, key number four. So now we're going to go through the last three. Key number four, I should live not for the dot, but for the line. So look at this little diagram here and just kind of picture your life on earth as a dot because it has a start and a finish, and it's a dot. Now, you don't know how big or small that dot is, depending on how long you're going to live. Nobody here knows how long they're going to live. Hopefully, it's going to be a big dot. Right? You're going to live a long time. But then, after this life, if you love Jesus and you have a relationship with him, this eternity here, actually, even if you don't love him, there's going to be an eternity, but you're going to be with God if you do love him, right? And this line's going to go on forever, and it's never going to end, okay? Now, it's hard for us to imagine a never-ending period of time. Those two statements don't even make sense. But if we live like that, it's going to change our generosity. So Jesus told a story. And in the story, he talked about a rich fool. Now, it doesn't seem like the two go together. I mean, he's got to be smart if he made a lot of money and he's rich. But here's why he was foolish. This guy had this piece of land. He had a big piece of land, and it had good soil in it, and it usually produced a good crop. But one year, it produced what's called a bumper crop. Okay, this was a really good crop. Like, extra wheat came up. He was growing wheat. Extra wheat came up, and the heads on the wheat where you get the grain, usually about 3 inches or so, they were like 6-8 inches. And he got so much wheat from that field that he didn't even have a place to store all of it. And so he started scratching his head, and he's like, what am I going to do with all this wheat? I know what I'll do. And this guy was rich. He had some nice barns to store his wheat, but they just weren't big enough. So he tore down his nice barns, ripped them down, burned up the wood, and he built bigger barns. And he got all these big barns that would store all this wheat. And he got it filled up. All this grain is filled up in these barns. And then he stood back and he looked at all of it. And he said, I actually have enough here to live on for years and years and years. I could be done working. And I could just live it up and enjoy what I've stored up here, all this that I've been blessed with. And so eat, drink, and be merry. But he didn't finish that sentence. What's the rest of that sentence? That saying, have you ever heard that? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Well, he didn't think about that part of it. But Jesus did, and he said that to the fool, God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. So this man was living for this world. He was living for the dot. And he was going to see how full he could get that dot full of stuff. But the reality that Jesus is trying to teach us is we don't know when the dot ends. We actually know more about the line than we do the dot. We know the line goes forever. We don't know how big the dot is, how big that time is that we're living in. And he's encouraging us to live like we're going to go there. And the interesting part is, after he told that story to the people, Jesus told the people that were listening to that story, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. And that was his main point in that, was don't worry about tomorrow. God's going to take care of you. He was taking care of this man. It said he was a rich man when he started into this venture. And then he got even more. And he thought, how can I bless myself instead of share this with others? Because he was worried about the future. So that's our first key, is to live for the line. And you might think about that kind of application-wise in your life. What does that look like for me? How do I live? Does God bless me with good things? Yes. Is God okay with saving some for security? I think so. But where does that end? Where do we get to that place where we're open-handed and say, God, how do you want to use the things you've blessed me with for others? Let's look at another one. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. What? Antidote? What does that mean? What does antidote mean, kids? Anybody know? A way to heal from a disease. Yeah, actually, yeah. What's that? Cure. Yes. Yes. A cure for a disease or habit. Good answers. Yes. It's kind of like, have you ever heard of an anti-venom? If you get bit by a snake and then you get an anti-venom and it kind of works against the bad effects of that venom that you've got. Well, here we see that materialism, another big word, materialism is kind of this love for things, and almost to where the things that you have start to run how you think and what you want and what you're going to do to get more of them, and it's kind of a disease, really. Have you ever seen a picture of Gollum in Lord of the Rings? That's what greed will do to you. You'll look like that. Okay? Don't be greedy. Okay, so in this story here, it's another story. Jesus was telling about this farmer who was going out to plant his seeds, right? And he's throwing seed all over the place. Okay? He's throwing seed, and some of it lands in the path, and the birds come down and eat it quickly. Some of it lands on rocky soil, and it grows up really fast, and then the sun comes out, and it doesn't have any roots, so it gets scorched. Okay? Some of it, like what we're going to look at here, falls among thorns. And it grows up, but then the thorns kind of choke it out, and it can't get what it needs because it's competing with all those things around it. And then other seed falls on good soil. And the seed that he was talking about is the word of God and truth, and the truth about God, and how to live with God, and how to go to heaven even, how to have that relationship with God. And the seed is getting thrown all over the place. But in here, in this example, Jesus goes on to explain, because his disciples are like, explain, what does that mean, the seed, and what is it? He says, when he was talking about the seed that fell in the thorn bushes and the stickers, he said, still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Okay? So we see there that we're learning that this materialism really, we become worrying so much, we almost start to worry more about how we're going to manage all our stuff and how we're going to pay for all our stuff and how we're going to get more stuff. And then that chokes out just walking with God and doing what he calls you to do and trusting that he's going to cover your needs. And so you become kind of choked in that way. Now, I'm guilty of this in some ways. If I have something like a bag of candy, for example, and it's my bag of candy, in my mind, a lot of times, I already think of it as mine. In my head, it's like I've already eaten a bag of candy, okay? And this plays into some of these different keys we're looking at, even the ownership thing, too. But that's that materialism, mine, this is mine, you know, my precious. And if somebody wants a piece, they might ask for a piece of candy, and I'll give them a piece of candy, but it's like I'm giving them something I already ate, and it's painful. It's like I have to regurgitate that candy and give it to them because it's already mine. I've already eaten it. You know, the other day I gave my sandwiches to Nick. Sorry, Nick, I didn't ask your permission to share this. But now, my food is very precious to me. And that was, I'm being transparent here, okay? You guys get to just sit there and listen. I could probe you for some tough examples, but I had to give that, and that was hard for me in one sense. The other sense is I knew somebody was taking me out to lunch that day, which I had found out after I'd made my lunch, right? So I had it. But still, I'm getting there. Baby steps, right? Okay? Baby steps, Bob. So I'd already eaten the sandwiches in my head, right? I have those sandwiches for later, you know, I can. But it brought me joy to be able to hear Nick came. He didn't have time to make breakfast, I think it was, or something. And he came to the meeting, came to our staff meeting, and he was really hungry, and I could tell because he was really grumpy. No, he weren't grumpy. He said he was hungry. Anyways, I shared the sandwiches with him, and it worked. It was like, hey, you know what? Don't see it as your sandwiches. God's going to take care of your needs. And he did. He met my needs for more than a way. The hamburger I had was way better than the sandwiches, I'm sorry, that somebody blessed me with. So I picked up this bag of candy as an illustration. These are Tootsie Rolls, peanut-free, gluten-free, just so you know. I didn't know that these little mini Tootsie Rolls were called midgies. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, they're little Tootsie Rolls is what I call them. But they're called midgies, okay? So, if I was sitting in your seat and I was at a service and the pastor was talking about this and had a bag of candy, all kinds of thoughts would be going through my mind right now. What's he going to do with the candy? Is he going to give out, like, individual pieces of candy? Is there a chance I might get a piece of candy? Maybe he's going to give the whole bag to one person. And maybe you're going to be the person who he gives it to. Bear, you want the candy? Okay, so but a lot of it is about mentality, and I think what I'm trying to get to is generosity is moving to a heart posture, like I said, of just understanding that God blesses us, and he wants to use our resources to bless others. And it's not about legalism, and it's not about a command. He's after the heart, and we saw that with Jesus when he came, right? He went after people's hearts, and they were all wrapped up in the law, and he's like, this is a heart issue. You can follow the law and still be breaking it in your heart. Okay? So, what if one person got this whole bag of candy? Okay? One person in here. And they opened it up, and they gave everybody one piece. And they kept one piece for themselves. I think what this key is saying is the more you move in that direction, you know, and where I want to move to is when I have a sandwich or when I have a bag of candy or something bigger, to not look at it as already having consumed it in my mind as mine. It's mine. But to be like, wow, God blessed me with this, and he's going to bless me with some of it, but he's going to bless a lot of other people with it too. And so if somebody asks for it, I can give freely, and I can even offer. Some of you guys are way ahead of me in this one. You could even offer to other people, right, from what you have. So, Scarlet, what's that? Well, maybe you're not going to get one, Jamie. Scarlet, would you do the honor, not now, but after the service, here's your job. You're going to open this up, and you're going to give one to anybody you can, except you got to put one in your pocket that you get to keep for yourself. Could you do that? Cool. Thank you. All right, so Scarlett's going to learn from that illustration, and all you guys get to be blessed by getting one, except you can start with kids first. So if we run out, Jimmy doesn't get one. Key number six. Okay, before I, this isn't key number six. What would you do with 500,000? But before I show you key number six, I want you to do a little exercise and think for a moment. Now, first, you need to know, I'm not going to ask you to share your answer, so stop trying to come up with a really spiritual one that's going to make you look good. Two, pretend you don't have any debt already. So just stop trying to be responsible with it and go, I'd pay off my mortgage and my whatever. Okay? So you have no debt, and you just got given $500,000. Just have fun. What would you want to do with it? Take a minute and think about that. Okay. Luke, what did you decide? No, I'm just kidding. I said I wasn't going to do that. Okay. Let's look at number six. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. Okay? I am guilty of this one. Having been a business owner for several years and an entrepreneur, I have the ability for a fluctuating income. And so oftentimes I dream about, and it does fluctuate, sometimes up and sometimes down, but I have the opportunity at least to kind of dream about, wow, what if, you know, my income changed and I had this extra income? Or, you know, we can, sometimes we get unexpected gifts or a tax returns more than we expected or whatever. but I'll often go to, you know, after the pay off the debts or, you know, take care of those things, wow, you know, what standard of living could I increase on there? And I always like to think, man, you know, if all of a sudden I was a millionaire and I was making $1 million a year, I just want to live on what I live on now and have all that extra to give away. And yet, if my income increases, does that play out? Is that how I live? And that's the challenge that I'm taking myself right now, is do I live by that principle? Or is it always this ballooning kind of standard of living that kind of is affected by how much I make? And well, now we can add this into that, you know, kind of balloon of my standard of living. Wrong button. So Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians quite a bit about giving. He's teaching as well as taking a collection. So the Apostle Paul was traveling around to all these cities, and he was collecting money for the Christians who were in Jerusalem. Okay? And there was a famine. They were very poor. There was a lot of need. And so he took what we refer to as the Jerusalem collection. And he went to all these churches that had some well-off people, some wealthy people in them. All these Gentile, we'll say, they weren't Jews. They didn't live in Jerusalem. So he was collecting this money. So while collecting the money, he was also doing some teaching on generosity to them, so that they would understand. And he was seeing it as a really great opportunity for the Gentile church to bless the Jews, the Jewish Christians, and show them, you know, God's working in their hearts. So one of the things he teaches in there is right here. As he was kind of teaching them about being generous and the effects of generosity, He said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Okay? You will be made rich in every way so that. Does anybody know what the so that says? You don't have to know the exact words, but what do you think? Where do you think he's going with this? He's saying, you will be blessed in many ways, like above and beyond what you need. God's going to be generous and bless you. Why would God do that? So you can bless others, right? That's where Paul's going with this. He says, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And then he talks about the cool effects of being generous in this passage. Read the verses before and after this, and he talks about how people will praise God because of your generosity. Have you ever been moved to give something to somebody and even to tell them, hey, you know, God kind of put this on my heart to give this to you. It's really, I appreciate, you know, you're saying thank you to me, but really God told me to give it to you so you can thank him for it. And watching the effect of that, I've been able to do that at times, and it's awesome to watch them worship God. Maybe it's even somebody who doesn't know God, but they just step back and go, wow, does God really know me enough to know that I have this need and somebody came and met that? And maybe you've been that person that's been blessed in that way. And that's what Paul's saying, is when you're generous in those ways, it actually leads to people worshiping God through your generosity. So God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. It's a challenging statement, but something that's worth walking with God in. Like, what's your standard of living now? Now, again, I want to emphasize God is a good father who blesses with, he's given me blessings in my life that they're not necessary at all. But he just likes to give good gifts. And so I've been blessed by those things. But also, are we willing to say, wow, he just gave me $500,000 or $50 or $5. That's a huge blessing. I wonder what he wants me to do with that. I wonder what I want to do with that. So there's what God leads you to do, and there's also your own heart. And even in this teaching on giving in 2 Corinthians, Paul teaches the people to give what they've set in their heart to give, right? So we have some involvement in that. It's not just being robots and saying, because I think the idea of us being God's money managers is different than just being kind of a slave who, go do this, give this to so-and-so. We should be that willing to do it if God says that, and he does at times. But also, he's given us an abundance and given us some freedom to also decide where we put some of those funds as well and where we want to bless people, because he's after our hearts. He's always after our hearts with that. So I gave a challenge. If you weren't here last week, maybe you didn't hear about this either. We are going to do communion at the end of the service here, so Nick did not forget that. I gave an opportunity to give to something with Fruit Bearers, which is a ministry, missions ministry that started out of Adventure Church here to the Philippines with Wes and Judy Robbie. And I wanted a practical way for me to step into this application of generosity and to provide something for you if you want to take that journey of stepping out and saying, wow, I have a surplus. I wonder if some of that is supposed to go to a cause that God's involved in, that God's doing. So I talked about this church. Check out this church, kids. You heard about this in Sunday school last week. Look at all these people. That's a church, and there's lots of kids. And they outgrew this house and a dog. And I bet there's more than that one dog there. But look at this house. They can't fit in there and do church anymore. And this boy here was blessed by Fruit Bearers. He has a walking disability, and he came to the Lord, and then he led his dad to the Lord. And his dad has now become a pastor. He's just on fire for God. He was part of the communist rebels' army, and which go around and collect taxes. He's out of that now, and he has this dynamic leadership gifting that people follow him wherever he goes. And he was using it in the communist rebel army, but now he's come to the Lord, and he's using it to lead people to Christ, and people are following him. a large group, and it's growing. And so Wes said, you know what your church could do if they want to? We're trying to raise $1,000. That's like 2 glue factory horses. I had to get one more reference in there to the glue. Okay? $1,000 will, one, pay this pastor. He makes about $50 a month, okay? $1 to $2 a day for working really hard out in the sugar fields, and that's what most of these people do for work, okay? So he's consumed with working out in the sugar field, but Wes said for $50 a month, we could free him up to be able to study and train and shepherd and take care of this flock that God is raising up, okay? So if we raise $600, we'd cover 1 year for him to be able to focus on being a pastor and taking care of his fellowship there. So that's part of that $1,000. And then the $400 that's left will build a shelter big enough for them to be able to gather, this church to gather and worship God together and pray together. And I'm sure it provides a place for the kids to play when it's pouring down rain. So it would be a blessing to that community to do that. And that's really relatively small considering the resources we have in this church to be able to bless them and help them. So what we're going to do is, worship team, if you want to come up, we're going to take communion here in a minute. And there are baskets at the communion stations. There's 2 stations up here. There's one back there. And for communion, the way we do communion is there's pieces of bread and you can dip them in the juice. All of the bread is gluten-free, isn't it? There's some people with allergies in here, so I just wanted to mention that. Is that right? All the stations have gluten-free bread now. And moving forward, we're going to do that. So we don't have to give a lot of instruction on that, but there's signs there that explain that. So there's baskets up here. If you want to give to that special offering for Fruit Bears and for this church, you can put your offering in these baskets. And if you didn't bring it, then you can give it next week. Okay, we'll give a couple of weeks to collect for that. You want to make checks out if you're writing a check to Adventure Church, but attach a note that it's for Fruit Bearers or put it in an envelope. So let's have a time of communion. And communion, if you think about John 3:16, it basically is Jesus not just teaching us the principle of where your treasure is, there your heart will be, but it's him living it out. And it's pretty cool to look around this room and say, you're God's treasure. And Jesus put his heart there by paying everything for your sins. And so where his treasure is, his heart is also. And so God's heart is for each one of us. And taking communion is just remembering that fact that Jesus died for our sins. He paid because we were all sinners. And we had to die for that. But Jesus didn't have any sin. So he died. And then he gave his spot to us and said, hey, I died and I didn't have any sin. Come to me and you don't have to die for your sins. Okay, you died yourself, but you become alive now in Christ. So we take bread, which recognizes his body. It's like a symbol of his body that he died and then he rose again. And his blood was poured out as that payment for our sins. So let's pray. And if you've made that commitment to Jesus Christ, you can take part in communion. If you haven't, just encourage you to take this time to talk to God about that or consider if you're in a place where you'd like to make that choice. So, Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for the body of Christ. When I look at the body of Christ, I see treasure because that's what you see. And it wasn't money, it wasn't time, it wasn't all those things you gave, but ultimately you gave your life, which is the highest sacrifice. So I know that you highly value this treasure and that your heart is with us. So we celebrate communion this morning and remember what you've done for us with thanksgiving. Lord, help us to grow in generosity, that it would be something that comes from the heart. An excitement to be partnered with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.